Just remain standing and turn in your Bible, if you will, to Proverbs chapter number 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Amen. I don't know if I mentioned or not. Don't remember that I did, but Brother Chuck and Miss Sue Ann were headed this way. He sent me a text and Melissa a text both. They were headed this way and got in some fog and got nervous about that and turned around and went back. So remember them. And when you're out going, be careful for the fog and watch for things and situations there. Pray that God give you safety as you travel on. Amen. That God would go with you and help. And then don't forget our Bible conference coming up next month, the 20th through the 24th. And I'm looking forward to that. Brother C.R. Kirkman from St. Louis area, Missouri, is going to be coming, and he'll be preaching and I'll say teaching in the morning time. I'm just calling it a session, a morning session, 10:30 each morning, Monday through Friday. And then we'll have a light lunch with soups and sandwiches. I know they've got lists out there if you'd like to participate in that. And then we're not having a church-wide meals in everything, but if you're here, you're welcome to stay and be a part of that. Then for supper, we've got some people that are fixing things for supper and service at 7 each night. Then Brother Wayne Sexton and Brother Ronnie Jones will be preaching each night. I don't know the subject they'll be dealing with, but Lord willing, they'll be dealing with a subject of some kind and walking us through the Bible. I know all these men, they're Bible preachers.
Man.
And I appreciate that. They're not up to tell stories about themselves or somebody else. They're going to be here and preach to us the Bible. And I appreciate that. Brother Sexton and Brother Jones are very, very country. They're plain people. I like that.
Right.
Brother Kirkman is a little bit more, in my opinion, a little bit more sophisticated, but he's not proud. He's got a humble spirit, and I love him as well. Amen.
Right.
And so I'm looking forward to these men being with us. This will be the first time we've done morning sessions, so if you can come, I believe it'll be a blessing, and hopefully God would meet with us and help us in all that. All right? So remember those things and be in prayer about those things as well. All right, we're in Proverbs chapter number 21, and looking at this, we've been looking at it verse by verse now for some time. We've really slowed down in this proverb and just picked a few verses at a time. I've tried to give you some bite-sized sermons that might be helpful, not be overwhelmed in the information, because these proverbs are, they're not connected necessarily. Not each one of them and all in a section are connected. There's a lot of different characters. We'll see that in this as well. I'm going to begin reading verse 22 and read down through verse 26. We'll try to cover these five tonight by the help of the Lord. And then that'll leave five for the next time. Lord willing, we'll finish the chapter. But verse number 22, and let's read it responsively back and forth. The Bible says, "A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty, and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not." We'll stop there in verse number 26. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to add the blessing to the reading of His Word. Brother Ricky, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You for this walk to be
yes.
Back in Your house tonight. Father, we desire Your presence.
We do, Lord. We do.
Pastor, Lord, You'd help me preach, Lord. I pray You'd open Your Word to our hearts and our minds and we receive it. Lord, we do pray for every need that was mentioned, Lord.
Yes.
These things. May the service you bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, we've been looking through these now. This is our fifth look at chapter 21. And most of the Proverbs we've broken down in two or three or four. I think this is the first one that we've actually gone more than four. We're going to be looking at it probably a sixth time as well. But by the way, with the way the service has gone tonight, I think that's it's a blessing, very significant that God has got us with a shorter thought. Matter of fact, I thought about trying to stretch and get all of these in tonight, and I didn't feel like God would give me liberty to do that. I didn't feel like I'd be doing just diligence in the verses, so we're going to look at these tonight. Look at verse number 22. He says, "A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty." You see this picture of a soldier climbing up the wall of a city. He gets up on top of that, the Bible said, and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Those walls of a city are for protection. People put confidence in those walls. The people inside of Jericho thought there was no way that anybody could get into them. The people inside the walls of Babylon felt like there was no way that anybody could get in the walls to them. This proverb is one of many that is admiring the qualities of wisdom. He's actually telling you about the value of wisdom. Matter of fact, he's telling us that wisdom is better than physical prowess or physical strength. Wisdom is better. Amen. Solomon, who was a wise man, he was also the son of a soldier. I mean a real soldier. A military strategist. David was not just a fighter. David was a thinker. Amen. And was a master military strategist as well as a brave warrior. And Solomon is telling us about this wisdom in this thing of war. He's dealing with warfare. He's dealing with a battle, with an attack that's being made. And he's saying that wisdom will help us come up with prudent tactics. In other words, come up with wise stratagem and ideas that will, if we apply that and use an application of wisdom with courage, then we can triumph over even more powerful forces. What is one man against a whole city? What is one man against the walls of a city? But Solomon said, the wise man can get in there. And the wise man can overcome it. Now let's use this spiritually. We've got fortified areas in our life. Cities with walls. And sometimes God says, you need to deal with that issue.
Right.
We say, what am I? How can I attack a city? How can I scale a wall? Well, there's wisdom. Where do you get the wisdom from? From the Word of God. When you have a problem, get in the Word of God. Amen. When you have a problem, get on your knees and talk to the Lord. And the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And God can give us the wisdom that will help us be able to overcome that fortified area even in our own life. Amen. Now, the picture here in verse number 22 is a picture of a wise man that is scaling the walls of the city of the mighty. So it's a masterful wall and thus conquering it. The scaling of the walls indicates climbing up the face of the enemy city. Amen. It is symbolically picturing the idea that the strategies and the ideas, the thoughtfulness of the wise man is overcoming the city of the mighty and the powerful. This mighty enemy had placed its confidence in the walls. This proverb I mentioned about Jericho, those walls came tumbling down. You know that story. I mentioned about Babylon, this proverb proved true historically. When Cyrus the Persian had no way of his army defeating Babylon, no way of getting in the impregnable city of Babylon. But you remember the story in Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar's in there having a big party because he knows he's in an impregnable city. But Cyrus, in his wisdom, deferred the Euphrates River, moved the river so that he could go in the opening, in the channel, because the river ran right through the city. And his men were able to come right in and conquer them from the inside by wisdom. Amen. By wisdom. And so it's true. That's it. And it's true is what Solomon stated here. Matter of fact, Solomon had stated in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 verse 16 that wisdom is better than strength. That's his phrase. Wisdom is better than strength. And that is mirrored by some strategies and some sayings that we've heard. You've heard people say things like this: work smarter, not harder. Use your brains instead of your brawn. Or use your brains instead of your back. I've heard those, we've all heard that. And it is true that we can accomplish more by planning and thinking through things than we can by just muscling through. Amen. Now that's not to say that there's not a time that you just gotta, as somebody said, put your big boy britches on and go to war. Sometimes you just have to wade out in the middle of it and deal with it. But you should have thought about it. You should have made some plans and you should have made some preparations, not just flying off at the cuff. Right? Jesus talks about this in Luke. I'm going to turn there. You don't have to. You're welcome to. But Luke 14 is a very familiar text that our Lord Jesus is speaking about this very thing that this proverb is dealing with. Luke 14 verse 28 down through 30. Luke 14, 28 says, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost?" By the way, that means think it through. That's words of our Lord. "Whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it." Amen. Or to finish. And so our Lord is telling us you need to think some things through. Solomon is saying in this proverb that wisdom is better than strength. I'm afraid, and I know we've got young people, thank the Lord for our young people. We got young people in school. Some people think that building muscles is better than building brains. Solomon said that's not the case. Not that you shouldn't exercise, right? Exercise profiteth little, right? But it does profit a little. And so it's not wrong. But your brain works like a muscle too. You need to exercise that a little bit. Amen. And amen, you need to put the load on it. You need to be tested. You need to be tried. Amen. You need to put the good things in. And so I'm saying that not that you ought to neglect exercising the body, but don't neglect advancing the mind is what he's dealing with here too. Amen. Amen. Many armies have had the advantage of mighty soldiers, powerful weapons, but they've been outsmarted on the battlefield. Right.
Yes.
Amen. Likewise, we as Christians need never trust in the arm of the flesh, but we need to lean on the wisdom of God for our protection and our advancement. Amen. By the way, this ought to cause us to value our Bible study. It's not wasted time reading through your Bible every year. It's not wasted time. It's not wasted time spending time studying, looking things up, and gaining spiritual knowledge. We ought to thank God for the privilege to gain spiritual knowledge and wisdom. Ask God to add it to us. By the way, by these things, we're getting the weapons that we need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about by wisdom scaling the wall even of your own mind and heart. I guess you heard that. I got real loud all of a sudden. Of your own, scaling the walls of your own mind and heart and casting down the enemy that's there. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's scriptural, by the way. Verse number 23. Look at verse number 23 of chapter 21. "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." I've been told by more than one person that is Miss Sue's life verse. And that she lives by that. That's why she's alive today. Amen. I guess Brother Robert told her sometime, if you want to keep living, be quiet. I'm kidding. Amen. But I've been told by several that's her life verse, and that is a good verse to put into practice. It's short, simple, succinct. "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." Again, another proverb
praising wisdom. This time it's the wisdom of not running off at the mouth, keeping ourselves out of trouble. Amen. Some people have a real ability to talk themselves out of trouble. A lot of people have a real ability to talk themselves into trouble. And that happens a lot of times, and that's what this is talking about here. Now, previous Proverbs talked about how foolish it is and how that foolishness causes people to move with haste. How that foolishness causes a person to rattle off at the mouth, to not be able to keep his tongue. But wisdom teaches us to conquer and control our tongue and our mouth. It's wisdom indeed to know the time to be silent and the time to speak and to be able to keep them apart. Know which place and time that you're in. Amen. Using our words sparingly may spare us many troubles. That's really what this proverb's saying. Amen. There's been many a time when a word unfitly spoken has caused tremendous pain, suffering, while those who kept silent were untroubled and unharmed. The book of James, you know this, that the book of James, it's called the Proverbs of the New Testament. But James speaks quite a bit about the harm and the hurt that can come from the tongue. Amen. We've all been guilty. Nobody said amen. You know why? Because we was all saying, oh me. We've all been guilty and we've all been affected. We've been guilty of doing it ourselves. We've been guilty of having it done to us and the pain and the heartbreak that comes from it. Amen. We've been a witness to the damage of uncontrolled tongues. And that there's a lot of sins of the tongues, a lot of misuse of the tongues, including gossip, nagging, lies, slander, unkind utterances, snide remarks, whisperings, mutterings. Amen. James said it right when he said the tongue is a world of iniquity. James 3:6. It is indeed a world of iniquity. The tongue can cause heartbreak. It can cause divorce, anger, sorrow, ruined friendships, divided churches, hindered ministries, and even death. It can wound loved ones, bring disrespect from fellows, heap insults on others, and even dishonor the God of heaven. Amen. By the way, these words is talking about, and this is a good proverb for all of us to put into practice. The words that he's talking about here that can cause all this hurt do not have to be intentionally causing pain. Amen. They don't have to be spoken in anger. They don't have to be spoken with the intent of causing damage. And yet they can bring troubles to the soul. You notice that? Verse 23, it's not just troubles to the flesh. It's not just troubles in your relationships. It can bring trouble to your soul. That hurts you to the core. That's, I believe, what he's talking about there. Amen. By the way, that's one of the damaging effects of alcohol and drugs. It loosens the tongue. Oh, yeah. You're not able to use it as well. There's maybe slurred speech, slowing down the speech and all that, but it loosens the tongue and deadens the mind at the same time. You need your mind to be sharp and your tongue not to be sharp. But what alcohol and drugs does is it deadens the mind and loosens the tongue at the same time and causes a lot of trouble. Yeah. People get themselves and others into all kinds of troubles by an unbridled tongue. One of the ways of showing your wisdom is to keep your mouth and your tongue in control. Amen. A wise man can keep quiet. That's what he's talking about there. Now, the previous proverb there in verse 22 had insinuated that wisdom's more valuable than strength. This proverb insinuates that careful control of the tongue is beneficial to the soul. Amen. Most of us have heard these advices in the New Testament. Paul wrote both of these. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Amen. And then he said in 1 Timothy 2:2, the latter part, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Amen. My grandfathers, both of my grandfathers, used to say that they believed that the news media, this was before CNN, before Fox News, before 24-hour news, when it was just news at 7 o'clock each evening, or 6 o'clock, whatever it was, news that came on. And both of my grandfathers said they believed that the news and news reporters was a communist plot to overthrow America. Well, they haven't overthrown America in a sense, but they sure, I mean, we're in bad shape. And some of it's because people sticking their nose in places that it didn't need to be in.
Amen.
And telling things that didn't need to be told. Right. Now, I'm not talking about covering for sin, but I'm talking about how he says, more or less, mind your own business. It's all in the scripture. That you study to be quiet and do your own business. What does that mean? That means keep your mouth shut and mind your business. That's how grandma would say it. When Peter said to the Lord there in John 21, what about John? I know I'm prepped, but talk about this other disciple. What about Jesus said, what does it matter to you if John lives till I come back? In other words, he's saying, Peter, keep your mouth shut and mind your own business. Boy, that's good advice. Amen. So thank you, Miss Sue. Amen. Amen. All right, verse number 24. She wrote that outline for me, by the way. That's why I was thanking her. I'm just kidding. Verse 24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. Here's another proverb about something that is damaging and unhealthy. He's talked about that previously there about the words that are wrong. Here he's talking about the pride. A proud and haughty scorner who dealeth with proud wrath. This is an angry man that has had his ego threatened or insulted in some way. Anger can be fierce alone. I mean, you get mad, it can be fierce. But when you couple that with insulted pride, you've got a ticking time bomb on your hand. It's extremely dangerous. That's exactly right. Perhaps... Now think about this wise man that he talked about in verse 22. The wise man that was able to scale the wall, that was able to get over that wall of confidence and was able to cast down that one that was stronger than him. Maybe that's he's dealing with here. That one that had his wall scaled and had his pride sort of insulted a little bit by somebody that wasn't as great or wasn't as good as him, but he's able to do a better job. This fellow's got upset, got angry about it. And now he's insulted, his ego's bruised, his pride is insulted, his anger boils, and he spews forth in his anger. He rages like a stormy tempest. His passions are on fire. His vengeance must be satisfied. He acts with overbearing violence of a haughty spirit. When the proud man gets mad, he's a mad, proud man. It's going to cause a lot of trouble. Look at how easily the chip can be knocked from off his shoulder. He's a proud and haughty scorner. Look at what it says about that. That is his name. You ever walked up to somebody, they reached out their hand and said, my name's Proud and Haughty Scorner. That's who I am. Listen, I don't care how proud a man is. He can't be proud of his pride. He ought to be ashamed of it. He can't be proud of his scorn, his insulting, just insolence. He can't be proud of that. Nobody wants to be known for that. But here's a man that's known for that. So easily that chip gets knocked off his shoulder because he can't bear the thought. Somebody else not having as high opinion of him as he has of himself. Can't bear the thought. I think about Haman, don't you? Haman had the world by the tail, and because one man wouldn't bow to him, he went home and pouted to his wife. Ahab, very similar. He's king of all Israel. But because one man wouldn't give him the vineyard that he wanted, he went home and pouted to his wife. Yeah. And I think about these men. Here's somebody else. I think about Pharaoh. I was preaching about this morning. Pharaoh that said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? Pharaoh was a proud and haughty scorner. But he found out who the Lord was. And he found out he better let Israel go. I think about Goliath mocking David. He's mocked the nation of Israel for 40 days, twice each day, morning and evening. For 40 days, he's come out there and demanded a champion to come out. No one would ever come. They all hid. They all ran. One day, David shows up, and he mocks David. Because David come at him, he said, with staves. He saw him as a shepherd boy, not as a soldier. But that proud and haughty scorner found out that that wise man scaled his wall. And took him down, amen, by the way, that was by the grace of God. Amen, God gave Israel the victory. God gave David the trophy of that giant's head, amen. But that proud and haughty scorner is a man that dealeth with proud wrath. Notice that, and I'll move on from that and get to the next two. These next two are together. This man is triply cursed. Proud, haughty, and proud wrath. So you've got pride mentioned three times. God denounces him. First a double woe, proud and haughty. And then he adds to his anger is proud wrath. In other words, if pride is headed towards destruction, then triple pride is undoubtable doom. Amen. Here's a man headed to a really bad place. You know why? Because God hates pride. Right. Something in us, innate in us about that too. You know what? And I used to be a real big sports fan. I'm not the sports fan I used to be. But even when I was, I rooted for the underdogs. Unless it's my team. Now, if it's a team I didn't care about, either team, I rooted for the underdogs. Amen. I'm from North Carolina. Anybody that played against North Carolina, I was for them. The Tar Heels. Because I felt like the Tar Heels was, buddy, they thought they was it. They made jokes about God asking Dean Smith for advice. That is heresy. Right. Amen. And when somebody's against them, I'd pull for them. By the way, because more than likely they were the underdogs because the Tar Heels had some mighty fine players. Amen. But why is it that we pull for the underdogs? I'll tell you why. It's because there's something innate in us that God hates pride. We like to see them get their comeuppance. Amen. Like to see them get their due. This man's triply proud, and he's headed for certain destruction. Now, I said these next two go together. I'll deal with them together, and we'll be done. Verses 25 and 26. The desire of the slothful man killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Well, we've talked, people testified already today about the giving. That's in this verse, the last part of verse 26. But he starts talking about this slothful man, and verse 25 deals only with him, and then verse 26 deals with two individuals, the slothful man and the righteous man, and apparently they're not the same man. Amen. Now, you'll have to agree with me that the book of Proverbs details a variety of characters. I mean, there's all kinds of different characters, and we're seeing these characters in multiple lights. But there are two totally different men mentioned in these two verses. The covetous, slothful man is the first. And the righteous, generous man is the second. The character of the slothful, the evil effects of laziness, has been pronounced over and over again in the book of Proverbs. Solomon must not have had much patience with laziness. Amen. You know why? Because he is a wise king. Yeah. Just plug this. If your child's lazy, don't have patience with them. It's not wise to have patience with them. Amen. Tell them to get up. Get them up. Get them moving. Amen. Amen. I remember when I was a boy, I'll tell this and get out of the way. I'll tell this and get back to my notes. I remember as a boy, I was probably 13, 14 years old, maybe 14, 15 years old, laying in my bed. Mom said it's time to get up. It's probably Sunday morning. Could have been Saturday morning, but in a school day. Mom said it's time to get up. I said, okay, but I just rolled back over and went back to sleep. Mom said, boys, I said, get up. Okay, I'm up. I even said that, I'm up. You know, mentally I was. No. I just rolled over and went back to sleep. I remember Mom said, Plato, and my feet hit the floor. Yeah, because I knew if Dad come in there, I would be up. And I'd be about and hurting as I'm up and about. Amen. I knew what it would be. Amen. Very little patience. And I'm not, you ought to be patient with your children. But if there's laziness, if you sense laziness, don't be patient with it. Solomon was the wisest king that ever lived. And he had no patience with laziness. Over and over. By the way, inspired of God not to have patience with laziness. Inspired of God to say over and over and over again that you need to get busy and do something with your life. Amen. You need to be productive in life, not a leech. Amen. Over and over he dealt with that. And so he deals with this slothful man here again. And in this category, we see him in a light we've not seen him before. Here's a man near suicide. Look at it, verse 25. The desire of the slothful man. You see these next two words? His own desire is killing him. He's doing it to himself. That's what it's saying. He's doing it to himself. Not his desires hurting him. It is hurting him. Not his desires angering him. Maybe it is angering him. But his desire killeth him. He's near to suicide, it looks like. He wants, but it's coupled with his fear of labor, and it's killing him. His heart wants, but his hands refuse to labor. That's what verse 25 says. I put it this way. He wants, but he doesn't work. That's his problem. He wants, but he doesn't work. And those two do not go very well together. Amen. I plug this one more time. I know I've said things about it before. I haven't said exactly what I'm going to say tonight. Every once in a while we see somebody, and I saw him not too long ago, I think this past week, up here begging. Standing at the corner begging. Next day I come by. You know what's there where they've been standing? A pile of trash. Amen. Somebody apparently gave them a drink and they threw the cup down. Somebody apparently gave them some things and they threw the trash down. Right. Hey, they need the job. How about start by cleaning the corner you're standing on? Right. Amen. All right. That does get me riled up. Just be honest with you. Amen. I don't think I'm wise as Solomon, but I don't have much patience with laziness either. Amen. Just be honest with you. Amen. And so here's the problem. I said these two. He wants, but he don't work. These two do not go well together, but all too often they are found together. Yep. Verse 26 continues the description of this miserable, slothful coveter. He says, he coveteth greedily. All the day long. Here's a miserable man. He's wanting, but not just wanting periodically. He's wanting all the time. His wanter just won't turn off. His starter won't turn on, but his wanter won't turn off. Amen. He's just miserable. His mind tortures him. With his unsatisfied desire. It gnaws away, irritating and tormenting him. I believe that's right. Now he may blame his lack on others. Yeah. Maybe that he wants and thinks that he deserves it, and maybe he feels like he's been quote unquote cheated. Amen. Other people have won life's lottery. You ever heard that statement? They've won life's lottery and I didn't. Listen, there's always going to be people that have it easier than you do and better than you do and more than you do. Always. Always going to be. Amen. That don't mean that you ought to run around with your thumb stuck in your mouth. Complaining because they got more, they got it easier. Are you following me? Well, I wish I could preach this on college campuses. It needs to be preached. Absolutely it does. Absolutely. He may declare that he's been cheated, but listen to this. He is his own worst enemy. Yep. He can't have what he wants because he's too lazy to work for it. He's angry at those that enjoy the benefits of working hard for the things they obtain. Well, look, they got a nicer car. Well, look, they got a better house. Well, look, they got better clothes or whatever. You know, he's got all these things that they have that he wants. Now, I know there are poor people in America. I'm not denying that. There are people in America that are hungry. There's kids that go home from school. And by the way, it's not that mom and daddy couldn't afford something for them to eat. It's that they don't care enough to provide something for them to eat. 90%, or maybe more than that, is not that they can't have, it's that they're wasting it on other things. Because they've all got cell phones. Even the kid that don't have supper has got a cell phone. Because that cell phone is his babysitter. Right. Because that cell phone's going to have his attention. Mom and daddy ain't going to have his attention. Mom and daddy's too busy with their own cell phone or their own stuff. Amen now. Amen. Lord help us. Maybe this is one reason why I need to keep this short. Because I need to learn to keep my tongue. Amen. Well, these things get you fired up. He adds to his own suicidal anxiety. Look back at Proverbs 14. We looked at this already. Proverbs 14, verse 30. He fills himself up with this envy and jealousy, and he adds to his own suicidal anxiety. Verse 30 says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." You know what happens when you heap envy into your heart? You are destroying your own self from the inside. Amen. Brother Billy Balls said this years ago, and I think he lived to find it true. Brother Balls said that envy is the only acid that eats the container that it is contained in. I think that's right. It eats people from the inside out. Look at chapter 19, Proverbs 19. This suicidal anxiety of slothfulness causes them to starve themselves to death, some of them, because they won't lift their hand to prepare or even consume a meal. Chapter 19 and verse 24, "A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again." I dealt with that a few weeks ago, matter of fact. That he's saying there, here he is sitting at the table, he won't even pick up his fork. He won't even take his hand out of his bosom. He's hiding his hand in his bosom and won't even hardly bring it to his mouth again. Look at chapter 26. He says a very similar thing. Chapter 26 and verse 25. That's not right. I got the wrong one. It's chapter 26 somewhere, I think. It talks about the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. Verse 15. Thank you. Verse 15. "The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, yet grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth." Amen. So almost exactly the same thing. He's hiding his hand in his bosom, and he won't even hardly bring it out to get something to eat. Now listen to this. There's the suicidal, he's destroying his own self because he won't eat properly because of his laziness. But then there's others that go on the other end of that. They kill themselves by eating what they shouldn't eat and when they shouldn't eat because of their greediness. They don't starve themselves to death. They eat themselves to death. Yeah. Look again. We're in chapter 21 and verse number 26. "He coveteth greedily all the day long." Now here's somebody that has not worked up an appetite, but they're hungry. Hungry all the time. They're not hungry for a good meal. They're hungry for junk. I believe you can see it right here. He's killing himself. This is self-destructive behavior. By the way, this is contrasted to the righteous. We're in verse 26 now, and I'm almost done. "But the righteous giveth and spareth not." Righteous man enjoys the positive pleasures of charity and benevolence. He has learned that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. By the way, you're going to be on one end or the other, and sometimes you're on the receiving end. Sometimes we need charity. It happens. Right. It happens. Sometimes we're going to need that. But I'm going to tell you, if we can, through diligence and through thinking things through and planning things out, if we can be on the other end that we're not the one needing charity, but we're the one that's given to charity, then we are more blessed. Amen. Those are positive pleasures. Amen. Now, it appears to me that the contrast, you look at the contrast of these two characters. God looks upon this covetous, greedy, lazy people as unrighteous. But he looks upon these generous, diligent, and having a concern for others as righteous people. It's not that their works make them righteous or unrighteous, but it's that their righteousness makes them of that character, or their unrighteousness makes them of that character. Amen. Here's what the Bible says about God. We know it. God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. God loveth a cheerful giver. That's one of the reasons I enjoy seeing the children come down and give. Amen. They're not always in on their best behavior. I understand that. Right. But they're happy to be given unto the Lord. Right. They're happy to be doing something that's bringing honor to the Lord. And that's something we ought to teach them, and we ought to encourage them in that. Amen. God loveth a cheerful giver. And it is more blessed to give than receive. Those are New Testament principles. 2 Corinthians and the book of Acts, both of those are given from the pen of the Apostle Paul. We know that God loves those. But listen to this. But the slothful, covetous, greedy person does not know the joy and the blessing of giving to others. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. I say this as they come. Let's all stand. I said there's a variety of characters in the book of Proverbs. There's a variety of characters in our message tonight. The section we've looked at tonight. Several different characteristics of people. Let me ask you this. Maybe you've seen yourself in the mirror of God's Word. Maybe there's some places you need to work on. Some things you need to address. Whether it be laziness, whether it be anger, whether it be profuse talking. Right. Whether it be a lack of planning and a lack of thinking things through. Maybe you see that in yourself, or maybe you see it in somebody else. You see another character, somebody you love, somebody you care about, and you don't want to see them destroy themselves. You don't want to see them be defeated. And so, you know what you need to do? If it's yourself, you need to admit it, and you need to pray about it. You need to work on it. If it's in somebody else, you need to acknowledge it as well, and you need to pray about it. Ask God to help them. Here's what I appreciate the fact that God gives us all this, and he don't just beat us down and beat us down and beat us down. He said there's hope for you and there's help for you at the throne of grace. If you've got a problem, if you find yourself sick, what do? Pray. That's what he said. Pray. Even calling for the elders of the church to pray with you. Find yourself in trouble, get a hold of God.